Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
We are kicking off coverage from Jacksonville this morning. Later tonight, 5:30, the Lee Company Countdown to Kickoff with Blaine Bishop, Kevin Dyson, Mickey Ryan, and Mark Howard. Titans Countdown presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans at 6:30, and then at 7:20, kickoff for Thursday Night Football. Titans Radio play-by-play coverage right here on 104.5 The Zone. Titans Radio coverage shows throughout the day with us and then 3HL leading up to Titans and Jags, and we kick off the show from the team hotel with Coach Mac, Dave McGinnis, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Mac, how are you?
I'm doing great. You know, this is the fourth one, I think, that we've done on the road. The Titans do you such a great solid. They give you a huge suite. And they're really good to Titans Radio because the suites that we do these things from, I mean, the views and just the room is so spacious.
For the show.
They do it for the show. I mean, it's so great for the Tennessee Titans to do this for you and for Titans Radio. I mean, I saw Rhett Bryan just briefly when I walked in, but this thing is so big. I can't, Rhett?
Hey, Coach Mack, I'm down here.
I mean, he's in the other wing of this suite, and I mean, he was on earlier, I think, right?
He was on Wake Up Zone.
He was on Wake Up Zone. All right, well, I can't yell that loud, Rhett, on the phone. We're on live radio here, but you can come on back and join us. Yeah, this is great. I love doing this.
Hey, speaking of Rhett, we celebrated Rhett's birthday last night.
Oh, happy.
We went big.
Happy birthday to Rhett. I mean, we went to Morton's, seven of us. Mike Keith was kind enough to treat everybody at Morton's for Rhett's birthday. Brought Mike Pereira over to the table to wish Rhett happy birthday. He was down here with the broadcast crew.
What a great voice Pereira has. He was singing happy birthday to Rhett last night at the table.
No, I mean, we brought all the people down, and, you know, of course, this is where all the crew is staying, and it was a great celebration of Rhett's birthday, and not only Rhett's birthday, just a great celebration of Rhett Bryan in Jacksonville. I mean, everything he wanted, I'm sure.
And when they saw us walk into Morton's, they turned around and looked at us like, what's this crew doing here?
Yeah. All right, what's getting ready to happen? They found out. You know what was really cool is there were some Titans fans sitting over there that were from Dayton, Ohio. Two women say they come to every game.
Every game.
They come to every game, and we went over there and talked to them, and they were so excited to be down here. And I was down in the lobby this morning visiting with some people that I know here that, you know, that came over early. And so I was talking to them, and I saw them again. That's great. I mean, they come to every game, drive down. They said, what, 5-hour drive from Dayton down to Nashville?
To Nashville, yep.
Titans fans are outstanding.
And they travel to the road games.
Yes, I mean, it's outstanding.
It's quite the setup.
Yes, it was.
Coach Mack has been turning down interview requests left and right because he wants to be exclusive on Midday 180 today leading up to coverage for Titans Radio. Mack, I appreciate that.
Well, some of these requests, I mean, they come in.
Can we tell the story?
Well, I mean, no, I don't want to name. I don't want
to name names.
I don't want to name but you know, they.
Someone wanted you to go on at 4:30 Central.
Yeah, 4:30
a.m.
4:30 Central this morning. Coach Mack, could you do 4:30 with us? It was in a different time zone, so it'd be different. I went, well, not really, no. Not really, no. Two reasons. 4:30, I will probably be asleep. And number two is, I mean, I work for the Tennessee Titans and for Titans Radio, and. You know, anyway.
What time would you get up as a coach?
As a coach during the week, probably about 4:30.
Really?
4:35, because I was always in the office by at least, you know, I'd try to go in and get a workout in the morning, so I'd be in the office by 5:30, work out, you know, and take a shower and be in the office.
What time would you go to bed? Like, how much sleep would you get during a season?
Well, during the season, we'd probably get home around 11:30 or midnight.
Wow.
You know,
and back in it's
and I'm not saying this just because it was me. I mean, it's because a lot of times what you did, and again, it depended on how long the staff had been together. But you know, when I was when I first became a head coach, and then when I was, you know, member of a new staff, you know, I've always in my office I had a you know an air mattress that you could put down and say, okay, this is this is where I'm spending the night tonight. And not that I was unusual. I mean, a lot of guys do that in the league, and a lot of guys still do that, you know, especially on these short turnarounds. I mean, you try not to. Mike Ditka did not encourage us to do that. You know, when I was a brand new coach with Mike Ditka, you know, I was the offensive quality control, defensive quality control, and the linebacker coach, and I didn't know anything about the NFL, so I didn't mind spending the night in the office because I was always constantly, you know, trying to catch up and do the jobs I was supposed to do. But later on, but it's part of it. I mean, sometimes your schedule just demands that you do that because everything is so time sensitive. But every head coach I ever worked for never encouraged the staff to do that. Always encouraged the staff to, you know, just, and they never, I was fortunate. Mike Ditka, you know, nor Jeff Fisher, nor Vince Tobin, when he was the head coach, ever made any of his staff guard their desk and just be there just to be there. So, and when I was a head coach, I didn't make my staff do that either. But sometimes, out of necessity, you do that.
Thursday night football tonight, short week for both teams. Titans, of course, on the rough end of having to travel on a short week as well. But the Titans start the season off with two division games. They dropped one at home last week, so now they have to make it up on the road, and they have to get back to even. Don't start 0-2 in the division. That's crucial.
No, you absolutely have to make it up. And you look at our opponent tonight, you know, Jacksonville's in the same situation. I mean, they lose a division game. Okay, on the road. I mean, you can't afford to fall behind in your division this early. And I think, you know, when the schedule comes out and you look at it, Jonathan, and you've got early division games, you know it's a chance to either get up, okay, or put some distance between yourself and the other people in the division, depending on how either divisional or non-divisional games go early in the season. But this is a big game, and I think it's a cliche in the National Football League to say, you know, every week, well, this is a big game. You only get 16 chances at it. But if you want to get in the tournament and you want to get in the tournament at the end of the year, the most direct route to the tournament is to be able to win your division. And to win your division, you have to win your division games. And if you lose a division game at home, then you have to make it up on the road.
Well, and you also, within this tonight, get a chance to all but bury the Jacksonville Jaguars, sending them to 0-3.
Yeah, and you know, really, Jonathan, you don't really worry about that. I'm serious. I mean, you might.
I do. Speaking from our conversation.
No, right. You worry about, you know, taking yourself where you want to go. Now, if that's a result of it, you know, but that's not the primary focus, you know, of your team when you're looking at it, saying, well, we can eliminate Jacksonville and put them out of it. You're concerned about what you need to do, first of all, to clean up what cost you a ball game the week before on a short week, and then go out and defeat a division opponent on the road. The rest of the stuff, the effect, the aftershock, you know, for whatever the effect has on the other team, that really is not in the forefront of your mind. In the forefront of your mind is getting ready to be able to win the ball game for yourself and for what it means for your future.
Mac, whenever you joined Jeff Fisher's staff, the rivalry between these two franchises has already been established. But what do you remember about the matchups with Jacksonville that still last until going into tonight's game? Just the rivalry and how much these two teams hate each other.
You know, there is some genuine feelings between these two teams. And I found out quick when I came here to work for Jeff Fisher. You know, for 10 years I was involved in the Green Bay-Chicago thing, which has been going on for 100 years. So, you know that. You know, and so when I got here, I realized, you know, when the Jacksonville, you know, game came around, there was a different feeling in the building. You know, there was a different feeling on the staff because first of all, I think, you know, the two head coaches were established head coaches, you know, with Jeff Fisher and Tom Coughlin. That was, you know, they're very, very established coaches, very good coaches, and both, you know, had a physical nature background. And so the games were like that. And the games also, I think both of those teams were trying to fight because, you know, when I came in here, Peyton was at Indy. So everybody was trying to fight to eliminate everybody else so that they could load up for Indy. And this game here was always something that Jeff Fisher and his staff, you know, pointed to, and the football team. You didn't really have to tell the team. I mean, with Bullock and all of those guys, I mean, they knew it. You know, even when we brought the free agency, we brought David Thornton in from Indianapolis. His first game, you know, I can remember getting ready for the week. He said, we knew up there at Indy how big Titans Jacksonville was just because of how physical the ball games were. So it's and that has never changed. I mean, I haven't seen a change since I've been back either.
Was it same philosophy, same overall concepts of what both teams tried to accomplish week to week that set off the rivalry beyond just Fisher saying that it was the second home stadium for the team?
Well, I think that helped. I mean,
that kicks it off.
I think that helped.
It is sustained.
But both teams, Jonathan, to your point, were very physical football teams, and both teams prided themselves on playing really good defense and being able, you know, to impose their will on the opponent. And to impose their will on the opponent, you know, naturally that comes with the run game. I think both teams, you know, they had Maurice Jones-Drew in there, and you remember how those games used to be, you know, with Maurice Jones-Drew and Fred Taylor, and I mean, I can just remember getting a defense ready to play those two teams. I mean, some of the most violent, you know, hits I've seen were against Jacksonville. Remember Albert Haynesworth picking Maurice Jones-Drew up, you know, when he tried to run a power O and just dumping him on top of his head. I can remember Stephen Tulloch and Maurice Jones-Drew meeting in the hole, you know, both of them about the same height. They could look each other right in the face and neither one of them back down. They were violent games when we played them, and I think that led to it.
Mariota gives it to Henry. Henry bounces it outside. 5, 10, 15, stiff arm. 20, 25, 30, 40, stiff arm. 50, 40, 30. He's on his feet. Big chase. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Titans, 99 yards! The longest run in franchise history. And the Titans are up by 11. What a run, Derrick Henry.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's tonight. Titans, Jaguars. That play happened the last time these two teams met in December of last year. Coach Mack and, of course, Mike Keith there on the call. Coach Mack with us here on the Midday 180, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. And Derrick Henry his games have been, the big moments have been Jacksonville Jaguar games. As we've looked over the years, it's been him stiff-arming Jalen Ramsey, bullying him over, going into the end zone here at TIAA Bank Stadium in the past. Of course, the 99-yard touchdown run. But you were quick on the plane yesterday. You said, Hutt, look, past performance does not dictate future performance. To his credit, Henry has been echoing that same sentiment all week.
No, I mean, he's approached it exactly right, and it doesn't. I mean, the National Football League, I mean, what you do, with a past performance, all you do is earn a chance to do it again, and that's what you do. Listening to that call, Mike Keith, what a great call. But I really pulled out of that? I love listening to the fans in the background. I mean, that was a genuine moment, and that's why we all do this. And we need Derrick Henry, you know, to have moments tonight. And it doesn't have to be a 99-yard run, John. Jonathan, but it does, you know, it would help a whole lot if he's able to generate, you know, successful yards, especially on first and second down, because I know, you know, we've been talking all week about it. I heard, you know, Rhett Bryan this morning, you know, on the wake up zone talking about the importance of the non-success on third downs that the Titans have had in the last two games directly as a result of what's happened on first and second down. Derrick Henry getting cranked up would be a huge, huge help in that.
There are no fundamental secrets between what these two teams want to do.
That is, and that's so good. And you brought up in the first segment, you know, about how intense this rivalry is. It's also the fact that these teams, regardless of who's coaching, I mean, these organizations know each other. And on the football field, I mean, you know what's coming. Now, you and I talked about this a little bit, Jonathan, and I'm gonna bring it up now. Something that I was always very aware of, made aware of, when these Thursday night games started to roll around, and have taken advantage of it, you know, at some time, and at times have had teams, you know, try to do things. A short week of preparation, when you're preparing for somebody, you may put something special in. It's not like you're going to just, you know, run trickeration, you know, every snap, but you may put something unusual in, just thinking that the other team may not have been able to dig as deep as you're able to dig with a whole week of preparation. You know, I mean, we did it when I was with the Rams against Seattle, you know, on a Thursday night game at home with a real unique punt return that went for a, that went for a touchdown. There may be some things you try to do, you know, offensively, just because when you get prepared for one of these games, Jonathan, you're squeezing 2 days into one, and you're squeezing 2 days into one basically in a walkthrough or a jog through mode, because physically these guys' bodies aren't back. They're not back on Monday. They're not back on Tuesday. They're not, you do everything you can, active rest, to get them back. And so you've always got to be prepared for that a little bit. And then when you have two teams with common knowledge of one another, that even becomes more prevalent.
Well, Jacksonville tried a fake punt here last year against the Titans. Didn't work, but they went for something. And I'm looking at it from the mindset of Doug Marrone. When he went for two on the road last week at Houston, it was after the spat on the sideline with Jalen Ramsey. They're about to go 0-2, chance to go 0-3 tonight, which is, you know, it's a death knell for some coaches. I'm not saying it would be here, but he's going down the path of not keeping his job. I mean, that's how I view it, 10,000-foot view. I think because of that, if I'm in that situation, I'm willing to take more risk and just put all my chips in the middle of the table and say, let's do everything we can to get the win on a short week and actually get some life in that locker room instead of starting the way we finished last year.
You're 100% right, and I think your view is correct. Now, I'm not, you know, speculating on Doug Marrone's job, but the fact of where they put themselves with 0-2, and you bring up a very salient and a real point. Him going for two like he did, it shows where his mindset is and what his approach is going to be, and his approach will even be accelerated with that because he is now approaching this game, a division ball game, against an opponent that both teams, you know, have real dislike as far as trying to put the other one somewhere else. And I agree with you 100%. This is a game where you've got to be on your toes, and regardless of how much rest either team has not had, this will be a very, very physical football game. I mean, you can book that.
Quarterback play. Mariota has to get rid of that football. He can't hold on to it looking downfield and take those sacks. At worst, it needs to be a incomplete throwaway pass or a dump-off, right?
Oh, absolutely. He has to be better, and he said he has to be better, and the head coach has, and he knows that. I mean, you can't sometimes there's times to get rid of it, but again, I'm gonna go back, and it's not the whole reason, Jonathan, but I'm gonna go back to some of those sacks in third down as to where they happened as far as the down and distance. But regardless of the down and distance, there's a clock that is in your head, you know, as a quarterback, and you have to know too that you're going to be getting a lot of pressure tonight. All right, they're going to bring pressure. They're going to run you know, four man games, two and two on each side with a four man rush, and then they're going to bring heat. They've got people that can. This is still a very good defense. It's a very athletic defense. This is a defense that can get up the field up front and at the linebacker position. And they've got the people in the back end, Jalen Ramsey and AJ Bouye. Those guys can play man to man. They can play man to man. So you've got to be expecting heat. And so with heat, you've got to be on point with your timing and getting rid of the ball. And Marcus held the ball too long, especially in a couple of instances last week. And really all it takes is one or two instances like that, you know, to put you either way behind or not give you a chance to get into scoring position. So your first premise, what you said, is 100% right.
Well, and just to pick up on what you said, Jalen Ramsey is expected to play tonight with all the trade rumors out there. That the talk is here in Jacksonville, he's playing tonight. And then, I think they've announced that too. But on the opposite side, AJ Bouye is expected to play as well. He's questionable with a hip, but the thought is he's also playing tonight on the outside. So that, there's Jacksonville's defense right there. Do they play a lot of man coverage?
Yes, they
in
do.
Secondary.
No. They
more
play,
than zone.
They play a lot of man. I mean, you know, it's opposite of what we saw last week. You know, with Indy. Indy was a base zone defense, and then they would fill in with man. This is a man defense that fills in with zone. You know, no team in the National Football League, Jonathan, you know, let's get this out for our listeners,
yes,
plays exclusively man or exclusively zone. You have to have a mix of both. But what you major in, but they've got two corners here that can lock people up.
But if one or two of those guys were out, then that would change their dynamic of the secondary with how they played the Titans, right?
I would think so. I would think so. And here's any time, you know, I've been on teams before where we've had two really good man-to-man corners. I mean, I coached Aeneas Williams, who's a, you know, Hall of Fame corner. So I knew every time we played the Cowboys, we were in the NFC East, and I could lock him up on Michael Irvin, and I could use the other 10 to take away Troy Aikman and the rest of that group. Well, you know, if you have one that's really good, well, you can, you know that you can work your other 10 around him. And so that's, they've got two that can play man-to-man. Jalen Ramsey is the best player and the most, you know, most physically gifted. And he's a gifted man-to-man corner. He really is. But AJ can play man-to-man too. So they've got two of them.
Help me here, because to avoid the third and long situations, you've got to be better on first and second down. But the Titans are 3-for-20 through 2 weeks. But they did really well on first down at Cleveland.
And that's the key, and that was why. And they not only did well on first down, if you'll remember when, and
that was one of your keys.
Well, you and Rhett Bryan do a great job of putting that together. Then we all three talk about it, you know, in our pregame, the keys that we give, which are usually pretty on point. But we said that in that ball game against Cleveland, that the offense and had to control the narrative on first down. And our thinking of that around that was is then you have to put yourself in a management. And they did. They not only controlled the narrative on first down, they scored touchdowns on first down. And that's big. That did not happen last week. And when that does not happen, it has a cascading effect on what goes on. And so when you look at the four third downs last week that were 3rd and 10+, that's not a good recipe in the National Football League, especially, Jonathan, it's not a good recipe against a division opponent because they know you. You know, they know you, and they know your personnel. They know what's going on. They don't necessarily know what play you're going to run, but it's that's not advantageous. And so it has to happen tonight to be able to do that. And I'm not saying you have to run the ball. I'm just saying move the chains on first and second down so that you get into 3rd and 5 or less on third down, where your chances exponentially go up to convert.
Mariota takes the snap, looking, stepping up. He can run this thing. Instead, he'll pull it back. He'll sneak around the edge to the 45, stiff arm, 50, 45 and down. My goodness, the young maestro is special. What heart, what courage, as he's actually giving it back to the Jags a little bit with a stiff arm, saying, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to the postseason.
Be nice to have another Mike Keith called like that one tonight. Thursday Night Football right here on 104.5 The Zone. The Lee Company Countdown to Kickoff with Blaine Bishop, Kevin Dyson, Mickey Ryan, and Mark Howard. 5:30 will be their kickoff time there. 6:30, our kickoff time from Jacksonville. Titans Countdown presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. And then at 7:20, Thursday Night Football play-by-play story. You can hear it right here with Mike Keith and Coach Mac, Dave McGinnis, who joins us live on the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's, home of the $5 Biggie Bag. The Wendy's Biggie Bag, it's the total package. For $5, you get the bacon double stack, four-piece nuggets, plus a small fry and drink. Price of participation may vary. As David Reed likes to say, he'll take $25 worth of the $5 Biggie Bag. Mac, let's talk Titans offensive line.
Sure.
For Mario to have some success tonight. It's a team effort on offense, and it starts up front with the O-line. And you were describing to me that the O-line cannot allow the Jacksonville Jags defensive front to game them. What do you mean by that?
Well, look, with a four-man line, just like what we're going to face tonight, I mean, when defensive coordinators, defensive signal callers know that they can get pressure with four men. It's not just four men rushing straight up. It's not what you do. And so what you do is you either run two-man games between the two tackles, and really when you're with the two tackles, you're attacking the center guard triangle, you're attacking that cylinder, or what you can do, you can incorporate the tackle into it, bring your defensive ends into it, and then either run a two-man game with the tackle to their side, where you're trying to make the tackle and the offensive guard work together, or you can incorporate a three-man game where you incorporate both defensive linemen and a defensive end on what we call a long stick. In other words, coming around to two or three gaps. But what it does is, even if you have a man protection called, once people start to game, then you have to be able to pass those games off. So what you do, you go from man protection to zone protection, and you have to be able to pass them off. That's going to be very, very critical, because you know the Titans have been hurt by that in these first two ball games. And so when people look at that and they see that on tape, they're going to mimic that. They're going to do that until you stop it. Now, again, I'm not talking about all-out assault blitzes. I'm not talking about five-man pressures. I'm not talking about six-man pressures. I'm not talking about zero coverages. I am talking about just the four men up front, but not just four men rushing straight up, you know, with Campbell and Jones and Darius and Ngakoue. I'm not talking about them just rushing straight up. I'm talking about them incorporating games somewhat of what I've just told you.
So Indy did it mostly up front on their defensive line against that center guard triangle.
Yes, they
for the
did.
Titans. What will Jacksonville do more of the outside in gaming?
It just depends. I mean, if they think they can attack that triangle, then that's what they'll work on. Or what they can also do, too. Now, it depends on down and distances, Jonathan, but it doesn't just mean that Calais Campbell's going to line up outside on the end all the time. They can bring him inside over the edge, much like, I mean, I've done that my whole career. You know, if I've had a defensive, I mean, just for our Titans fans' point of reference.
Does he move inside when Allen's on the – does Allen take his spot? I'm trying to envision how they use the rookie now on that line.
Well, yeah, and it depends on down and distance, but you can do that. Just for the Titans fans' point of reference, you remember when we had Albert Haynesworth and Kyle Vandenbosch together. You know, if we got a third down situation, a lot of times we'd move Kyle inside and we'd move Albert outside and then we'd let him go to work there. That way you attack a coverage – you attack a protection with different people. You know, might be the same game, but you're attacking it with different people and different leverage points. So we'll see that tonight.
Let's go to the phones, and we say hello to Josh this morning. Josh, welcome in to the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's, live from Jacksonville.
Hey, guys. Hey, Coach Mack. Just wanted to –
Josh, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks. I just wanted to get your input. I think the Jags are going to, you know, stack the box with eight or nine guys and spy Marcus, and then flash pressure, because – when he sees pressure, he tends to kind of look for a way out, and it kind of makes him hitch a little bit. What would you do if – I know you're a defensive guy, but if you're Arthur Smith, at some point we're going to have to get a play or two from the quarterback to hurt him over the top, just to loosen him up a little bit. I mean, how do you – if you're Arthur Smith, how do you combat that? Because the spy works on third down and neutralizes his legs, and the flashing the pressure or actually bringing pressure seems to turtle him up a little bit. So how would you as an offensive coordinator figure out how to get something out of that? And I appreciate
Josh, it. Thank you for the call. And let me pick up on this, because you and I were having this discussion off air. What Jacksonville will do will not be new to what Marcus has seen, but he'll see new personnel doing it. Telvin Smith retired from the Jacksonville Jaguars. He was their spy in this matchup. He would, just like Darius Leonard was last week for the Colts, Telvin Smith was used in that same way. So do they go with Miles Jack in that role now? And let's just pick up there with the personnel that they have to choose from now that Smith is gone, because he was their speed back.
Well, he absolutely was. And you and I talked about this on the plane coming down, you know, just talking about what we expect to see. And thanks for the question. It's a good question. It's a very relevant question. You know, they could do it with Miles Jack, and they could do it with Quincy Williams, the rookie they've got from Murray State. He's a 5'11", 225-pounder. He can run. And really, when you're looking at a guy to spy, you're looking at a guy that can stay in phase with the quarterback. You're not necessarily looking for somebody, and a spy, understand for our listeners, when you're spying on defense, when you are spying the quarterback, then the quarterback is responsible for that spy in the protection. And when I say that is, I mean, he's responsible for blocking that guy by throwing the football, all right? Now, sometimes you can spy with a guy that you put on a back that you think they're going to keep in protection, and then you have what you call a pressure rush. But when they start to spy, then what you know if they're spying you, then somebody's, you know, not in the coverage. If you're running a spy defense and you run a zone coverage, then you have to have somebody playing two zones, and it's normally underneath. If you're spying in man-to-man, then you have to pick the man-to-man matchup that you feel most comfortable with and then cut it loose. But what a spy does, Jonathan, a spy takes you away from the off-schedule throws. Because and you normally here's what you tell a spy. A spy never rushes immediately. You let the rush clear. You let it clear yourself. You let the initial rush that you're bringing clear itself, declare an open area, and then that's when you start to go towards the quarterback. So if you get the ball out before all of that stuff happens, then you negate the spy. But the spy, anytime you try to go off schedule, break contain, that's when the spy comes into being. And sometimes if you're holding it too long, the spy comes into being, because now the timing, that clock that I talked about that has to go off in your head, and it has to also be in the spy's head too. He has to time it up to say, all right, now the time has passed, I can go.
And Leonard was doing a great job at that last
week. He did a great job of it.
And a lot of it had to do with that cylinder that you were just discussing with the offensive line having to put up with Jacksonville's defensive front. A lot of it will have to do with how they hold up against those games and different things going on up front with the motions and how they attack.
100% true.
Yeah. And if the caller's bringing up some deep shots, maybe to Corey Davis and other players within this offense, trying to get Jacksonville to back off of some of the things they might do.
Well, the thing, again, let's go back to our previous segment where I say you can afford to do this, and you can afford to take a little bit longer if you have corners that can play man to man. They have it, all right? So you're going to have to beat those corners, and sometimes those throws are going to have to be made even when those cornerbacks are in phase, and then count on your receivers to go ahead and win that matchup.
Did you hear about the tailgate party we're having in Atlanta? Have you been told about this?
No. Nobody tells me anything.
I'm about to tell you.
They just tell me to get on the radio.
Well, you're going to be there, so you may want to know. If you're headed to Atlanta, Coach Mack will be there to see the Titans take on the Falcons. Join us at the Titans Road Rally. It's presented by Miller Lite, Saturday night, September 28th, 7 p.m. at the Buckhead Saloon in Atlanta. We're going to have a live DJ, drink specials, $2 tacos, Titans giveaways, and much more. The voice of the Titans, Mike Keith, will be hosting the rally with plenty of special guests. So stop by the Buckhead Saloon in Atlanta for the Titans Road Rally presented by Miller Lite. The last time Mac was in one of these settings, he put on what was an epic speech prior to the playoff game against Kansas City. And well, it was the playoff game, right? It wasn't the regular season.
It was the playoff game.
Okay. And that speech has lived on to where you now deliver that speech prior to the midday 180 fantasy football draft. And maybe, who knows, maybe if you're in attendance at the Buckhead Saloon, maybe you get the same type of speech prior to Titans-Falcons the next day.
We'll see.
it's kind of like Mike whenever he's asked to give his sack call or the touchdown Titans call. He doesn't do it on demand, like I don't, if you're just walking down the sidewalk. He's like, no, it's in the moment.
No, it has to be organic and has to be in the moment. But if it's organic and in the moment, then Coach Mack's never seen a rally he didn't like.
Yeah, that's right. We'll be there. Hope you will, too, if you're headed down to see the Titans take on the Falcons.
Your home for Titans football and the University of Tennessee Volunteers. 1045, The Zone.
In the shotgun, Mayfield. Blitz coming. Mayfield firing, and the pass is intercepted, picked off. Logan Ryan, his first career interception as a Titan. He got around Landry, a combat catch for the defensive back, and the Titans will take over inside the Browns 35. Brissett in the gun, takes the snap, has time, firing downfield. The ball is intercepted. Logan Ryan at the 40. He's ruled down at that point. Second interception in as many weeks for Logan Ryan, and the Titans with the takeaway.
Hard to find a player off to a better start with this Tennessee Titans team than Logan Ryan. And you can join us live next Tuesday for the Logan Ryan Show inside the 104.5 The Zone Music City Performance Studio. Edley's Barbecue provides lunch for free. You can meet Logan, grab a photo and an autograph. Possible special guests with Logan Ryan as well. He brought a player with him to each of the shows last year that we did downstairs inside the performance studio. So we'll see who he brings with him this coming Tuesday. You can tweet us to get on the list. Use the hashtag Logan180. Hashtag Logan180. We'll reply to confirm that you're on the list. So do that now on social media. And you can also sign up online, 1045thezone.com. Again, 1045thezone.com for the Logan Ryan Show inside the 1045 The Zone Music City Performance Studio presented by Edley's Barbecue. 615-737-1045, our number if you want to talk with Coach Dave McGinnis. He's presented each and every visit by Farm Bureau Health Plans. And, Mac, we go next to Jack on line two. What's up, Jack?
Very good.
Hey, Coach Mac.
Jack, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, doing great. glad to be able to ask you some questions.
Sure.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I got you, Jack. I got you.
I hear you. Can you hear me?
Got you, Jack.
Yeah. Here's my question. Are you still there?
Yes.
Jack, you're not there anymore. We go to Ryan on line three.
Hey,
what's
guys,
up, Ryan?
Thank you so much for taking my call. My question is basically about all NFL quarterbacks, just using Marcus as an example. Do NFL organizations take into consideration whether a quarterback has had one coach or offensive coordinator, or if he's had one every year? When they have their timeline of, you know, in year three, he needs to produce. In year four, he needs to produce. Just he's been in the league. And I didn't know if that buys a quarterback some time, or if they really don't care, or, you know, just your thoughts on that, guys. Thank you very much.
Ryan, very insightful question. Thank you for the question. And it factors in some, but there are some basic components with playing quarterback in the National Football League that transcend, you know, no matter how many coordinators you have. There are some requisite skills that you have to have. And the thing that you look at too is you look at progressions of quarterbacks, but clearly it is most advantageous for a quarterback, any quarterback coming into the league, especially one that was drafted by a team, to have continuity in what he is going to do. And here's the one thing that I think that our listeners need to understand, and I think to understand, evaluations in the National Football League are made off of performance and are made off of a body of evidence. There is no sentiment in the National Football League. There really isn't. I mean, I think I've been in this community long enough, and people know. I mean, I'm really a good dude. You know, I'm a lot of fun to be around. When I was a coach in this league, I wasn't sentimental.
Yeah.
Okay, you make decisions based on what is going on, and so basically, that's how you're evaluated at the end. But especially for a quarterback, continuity does make a difference.
It does. You know, it. But here's the thing. That can't be used. You have to factor everything in now. It could be used a year ago, a year prior, because he was still under contract. And now you have to make the decision, like it or not, he's had different play callers. It doesn't matter now. You have to make the decision on the future based on what you've seen, regardless of who's calling plays.
That's 100% right, and that's why I say there's a lot of factors that go into it, but the base thing you do is you make decisions based on what you think is best for your football team now and in the future at every position.
How can the Titans confuse Gardner Minshew tonight, the rookie quarterback who's going to be starting for Jacksonville?
Well, first of all, I mean, they're going to run Fournette. I mean, they're going to use their run game to try to protect this quarterback a little bit. All right, a little bit. This guy's a gunslinger. All right, and so what you have to be able to do, if you can get them into down and pass, where you've got a pretty good idea that you're not in conflict on defense, that it's a run pass option. It's down and pass. Then what you have to do, this guy clearly has not seen hardly anything as far as coverage wise. Dean Pease and his defense are one of the best in the league at bogeying or disguising pre-snap what they're going to do, and even holding it longer than most teams do, pre-snap to post-snap, you know, for the quarterback to read. So they're going to do. They will have a game plan that will incorporate that. That entails Jonathan, what happens up front. That entails where you place your linebackers. That entails the look that you give them in the back end. You not only look at safeties when you're looking at pre-snap reads, you look at the corners at their alignments. You look at linebackers at their alignments. You also look at anchor points across the front to try to predetermine if they're going to blitz, where might they be coming from. And so you will see all of those types of bogeys and disguises from Dean Pease and this defense. But the key to all of that, Jonathan, they have to be in down and pass. That's what you have to put them in. And to do that, you've got to earn the right to be able to do all of those things to try to confuse a young quarterback by stopping the run. That's going to be paramount in this football game.
After Fournette, they have Marquise Lee, one of the fast receivers within this offense. But you also like DJ Chark, a big, fast receiver He's not a rookie, but it feels like a rookie season for him because he missed last year. He's back, and he's been productive.
I really like what I see out of DJ Chark. You know, 6'4", 198 pounds, and as you mentioned his background. He was hurt last year, and they took him, you know, they took him with a high pick because this guy's got requisite ability. And also remember this, Jonathan, when he was playing at LSU, they did not throw the football at all. He's not playing – he did not play in that wide-open throw that they're
doing now.
That Coach O's doing now that's being very, very successful. And letting Burrow throw it all over the lot. He was in a run first, run second, sometimes run third, you know, offense there. And so he's just now kind of perfecting his craft as far as playing wide receiver. This guy is very talented. I like what I see on film when I look at him. And you could tell that the requisite skills that he had when you were looking at him, you know, in the draft. But now you can see that this guy is going to be. They got Marquise Lee, as you say, DJ Chark. They got D.D. Westbrook. You know, they've got some guys that Minshew can spin it to. And Minshew, let's just say this about him. He's been throwing the football all his life. All of his life. He hadn't been running an option. He hasn't been a guy that's been, you know, everywhere he's ever been, from high school, clear through Troy, clear through junior college, clear to Washington State, he has been throwing the football. He knows how to find open spaces.
Mac, I will see you at 6:30 in the Titans radio booth. The doorman here in the suite will let you out on the way out.
Well, thank you very much. You know, we saw Rhett at the first part of this show. I think he's been back in the left wing a little bit. He may be. Thanks, Rhett. Good seeing you. Thanks, Hutt, for inviting
Mac,
me up to your spacious suite. Thanks for our listeners. I'll see you tonight.
Chad Withrow and Stephen Godfrey coming up. Talk a little college football. And, again, the schedule for Titans coverage, I'll be back with Chad a little bit later in the show. Paul's going to check in. He's staying out near the beach right now on the Atlantic, his favorite ocean. he'll be checking in with Chad coming up, too.
We'll have to send the Coast Guard out to find Paul.
We will. At 5:30, the League Company Countdown to kick off with Blaine Bishop, Kevin Dyson, Mickey Ryan, and Mark Howard. Titans Countdown presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans at 6:30 and then at 7:20, Titans Radio play-by-play coverage of the Titans and Jags on Thursday Night Football. Big thanks to Coach Mack for joining us, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans.